All right, we started a series called Misunderstood last week, and it's funny, I was reading on our Facebook page, and the way that it put out there is something about come be a part of our Misunderstood series. It's like we don't understand what our series is going to be about, but anyway, we're going to play this, and what it is we're focusing on verses over the Bible that have probably been possibly misunderstood and misexplained. And so it's 10 different verses we'll be hitting. And it's interesting because what I want you to pay attention to, you're going to hear a lot about God's image. So pay attention to that. We're talking about when Jesus was confronted, hey, do you pay taxes to Caesar or to God? I mean, what's going on here? It was a trap. But what God has impressed through me through this study is authority. Who struggles with authority? Who likes to be directed? Who likes to be told what to do? Okay, there is a straight line that Jesus draws here that helps us understand that. So we're going to be talking about, as McDowell talks about, you're going to hear about image and God's image. And frankly, the way they describe this verse, I never viewed it the way that he says some public does, but it's very interesting of separating like politics and church. So listen to this, and I want to come up and just walk you through what I think Jesus is saying about how do we confront authority and how do we respect it.
Top 10 most misunderstood passages in the Bible. Coming in at number two, Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Now, this is a passage you're familiar where Jesus is talking with some Pharisees, and they're trying to trick him to see if he should pay taxes to Caesar or not. Let's read it and then talk about quickly how this passage is so often misunderstood. It says, "Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, famously, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. Often this passage is interpreted to say that Jesus is saying keep politics and keep religion separate. After all, the phrase is pay unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. So in other words, keep out of politics any faith. And this has power for people because it seems like Jesus is indicating that. Well, first off, Jesus does seem to indicate that there's different realms of authority in religion and in politics. So there's an authority that Caesar has, and Jesus is saying, give him due. Since his image is on the coin, pay to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But this raises an interesting question many people don't ask. If Caesar's image is on the coin, where is God's image? The answer is everywhere, in terms of everywhere human beings are, because humans are made in the image of God. So yes, there's a distinction between politics and between religion, but even in politics, every human being is made in the image of God. So Caesar has some authority, but this is under authority in heaven, under God's realm. So that means as Christians, we can't totally separate our faith and our commitment to God in terms of how we approach politics. So yes, there's a distinction, but ultimately even politics is under the authority of God.
Anyone else ever kind of viewed that way? That was a little bit fresh to me. Now, I'm not a crazy political person, maybe that's why, but if God's image is in all of us, I mean, picture this, you separating religion from politics. Now picture separating religion from anything. I don't like the word religion per se, but say faith. If our faith is in God and we are created in the image of God, we are created to do what God would ask us to do, and that's why we'd be given the Word of God. So if there's anything out there that doesn't have a faith the faith-based reality of the Bible in it, is it very healthy? No, it's probably quite the opposite. And so what struck me in this is kind of a two-parter in a way, because I don't want to get off of what McDowell was saying, but the whole idea of how Jesus handled this situation. So when I ask you, what do you think of authorities? Let me ask you this. Does anyone have an authority above them that they aren't crazy about? Who here had your houses reassessed last year? Were you crazy about that reassessment? My house, praise God, went up $80,000 in value. Isn't that fantastic? Guess what we get to pay taxes on? The assessed value of your home. Does it mean that it will sell for that amount? Is that fair? Should we stop paying our taxes because that is not right? That's not right. Seriously, raise your hand if you think that's right. For someone without walking in and looking at my home and viewing the acreage and all these things, saying, hey, man, your house just skyrocketed up. There's something not right about that. Does that sit well with you guys? What should we do about it? Huh? Let's make some noise. Let's get ticked off. Let's march down to the Capitol and state our claim. Correct? No, if you're believing me right now, just shut your brain off. I'm just having some fun. This is what I want us to understand. How did Jesus handle this situation? And so this is our verse. They come to him, now tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? I want to back up. It's amazing when you look close at the scriptures what happens here. In verse 16, it says, they sent some of their disciples, so we're talking about the Pharisees, the high priests, the religious leaders, along with the supporters of Herod. If that doesn't trip you up, there is a rift here. Let me go down to my study notes. The Pharisees, a religious group, opposed the Roman occupation. Normally, these two groups were bitter enemies, but here they united against Jesus, thinking they had a foolproof plan to corner him together with their representatives as they talked to Jesus about paying taxes. And so the leaders are getting... The Romans placed heavy taxes on land, on goods, on food that was bought and sold, and on inheritance. They also charged tolls for people traveling through the area they controlled. The taxes went to support the Roman army, to maintain control of Palestine, farmers, and poor. The Romans made contracts with local people in order to collect taxes. These local tax collectors, called publicans, would often collect much more than the amount they were supposed to, and then turn that over. So they would turn over the to the Romans, but then they could make whatever wage they wanted. Who thinks that's fair? Is that right? But you just had to pay it, or you had to pay a penalty or be thrown into prison. And so another point in my study notes here, it says the Jews were required to pay the taxes to support the Roman government. They hated this taxation, listen to this, because the money went directly into Caesar's treasury, where some of it went into support of pagan temples, idol worshiping, things that were not of God. Some of this money was supporting people who didn't believe in God and who preached against him and for idols. Is that right? Boy, I don't think so. To direct anyone from God? And so the pagan temples and decadent lifestyle of the Roman, basically the Roman heads. So now listening to all that, let's look at this question. And so they come to him, both sides, and let me read the verse right in front of it. It's funny how they butter him up. So they sent their disciples along with supporters of Herod to meet him. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. Now pay attention to this. How honest you are, you teach the way of God truthfully, you are impartial and don't play favorites. Are you catching what they're saying? They don't believe in the taxation. Matter of fact, listen to this. When the teachers of religious law, this is after Zacchaeus came down from the tree and he's hanging out with Jesus with his friend. When the teachers of religious law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? They don't agree with taxation. They don't agree with Roman and with Herod. At the same time, they're using this against Jesus. So they say to him, you're this honest teacher. You're about the truth. And you're impartial. So no one is. The way that they were taxing, was that right? Was that truthful? Was that honest? Well, no. There's all kinds of holes in it. Not just the tax collectors cheating it, but the money. We've got a different answer. But is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? They just said, you're truthful and you're impartial. So Caesar, in Jesus' eyes, is just love just the same as anybody. Do you see what they're trying to do here? And what does he answer? Stay right there. We're going to get to that. I want to talk to you about authority in our lives and how we treat it. Jesus hears this, and he could have went into the, you know what? I think you should ban Caesar. This is ridiculous. We can't support idol worship. And I don't, and Jesus didn't. But he said, pay to Caesar what is Caesar's, and pay to God what is God's. So is he saying this because he agrees with how they're handling this money and this tax? No, he says this solely because of how God views authority and leadership. And Jesus has given us the greatest example in this verse of how you honor leaders. So listen to these verses with me. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Now that can be confusing, but that is the word of God. So he has placed, we're people, we're imperfect. He has placed people in positions. Does that mean that they're going to do the things of God? Caesar was placed in a position and he was delegating money for idol worship. That's not of God. But how is God asking us to react to that? Was it right? The way they were taxing wasn't right, but Jesus still said, pay to Caesar what's Caesar's. God has asked us to honor authority as unto him. And so when we get hung up in my little fun little rant earlier on, man, let's go down to the Capitol, let's stay. When we get hung up on certain things, are we honoring authority? Because if we're not, according to this verse, we're not honoring God. Anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. There again, is it about right and wrong? Or is it about what God has asked us to do? You see, when you honor authority, even when they're going in a direction that you are not, they are seeing Christ through your actions. When you honor a boss that is just maybe being a tyrant and pushing you in a way, but he sees that, you know, I can rely on this guy. There's something to him. There's something about him. And honoring authority doesn't stop based on honoring. But God is just asking us to do it, and Jesus shows us how he did it. Listen to this. Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to. At what point in the Bible do people not honor their authorities? There is a point. It's when they ask them to walk against the word of God. They brought Peter and John in, flogged them, said, that's the line in the sand. We have to be true to our faith. But there is so much that we get hung up on that has nothing to do with our faith. We just don't like what we hear. Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. Jesus can be seen through the acts of Christians. So let's move on a little bit. Ephesians 6:7, I want to read right before that. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters. Now, and nowadays, and you'll understand, because it says later, it's slaves of Christ. So we're not talking about these paid people. But if you have authorities above you, Obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. So it's not about them. It's about obedience to God. Try to please them at all times, not when they're just watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all of your heart. And then it goes on. Work with enthusiasm as though you are working for the Lord rather than people. Our obedience to our authority is unto God, because He's placed them in authority. It's not about a rightness. It's not about them doing things the right way. It's about, are we going to honor God with our actions because He asks us to do this? He has a plan. Ultimately, He wants each and every person to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. That's not going to happen through us making a stand on rightness. Yes, we can have opinions. Yes, we can talk about those opinions. But when we start dishonoring our leadership, God says, that's not what I've called you to do. You're dishonoring me. Now, a great part. Let's move a little bit from political authorities into different authorities. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. Guess who that is? Honor me. Okay? Listen to this. In a spiritual realm. Maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a different church you've been at, different leaders, maybe it's TV evangelists, but you've just struggled with what they do and how they do it. Are we perfect people? No. Are you perfect people? It goes beyond. The people have placed an authority, so God has placed people in authority over us spiritually. How do we honor them? And that you can honor someone with disagreeing with them. In the manner that you sit down and the way that you talk about it, and the way that you get out the truth, it's so much bigger than that. The tongue is such a dangerous tool anymore, and it can be so dishonoring. And so we're talking about honor our government authorities. We're talking about honor those who do the Lord's work. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Don't see a boatload of kids in here today, but who's ever been a child? Okay. That honor is so hard because I think, isn't the golden age when you become geniuses 12? That's right, isn't it? I think it's 12. And I watched my kids become geniuses at 12. I was a late bloomer. I was 13 when I got really smart. And so you know all the answers. And so when something's being spoken to you, wait a second, that's not what I want. That's not what I think. And so what happens? The dishonor becomes and disrespect becomes and the opinions lash out. And even as we get older, I've been called to honor my parents, to love them. There again, it's not agreeing all the time, but it's having a relationship that's open, that's understanding. If there's an issue, it's confronting, it's talking about it, it's allowing love to work through that instead of having a rift. It's amazing the amount of families that have been separated as they get older because of differences where you just can't seem to come together and get over it. But we are called to honor our parents because they were the authority that God has placed in our lives to help guide us. When we recognize that everything is under the authority of God, we strive to honor our earthly authorities as unto the Lord. That's our call. So, if we go back, Matthew 22, whose picture and title are stamped on this coin? Caesar, they replied. Well, then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. I didn't spend a lot of time on that, but what belongs to God? We belong to God. He deserves our everything. He deserves. That's why I'm so 1,000% for being in this word at all times. Because God deserves our everything. And when He gets that, when our focus is on Him, that's when we can make a difference. And so, much like our video said, His image is just in us. And so if His image is in us, picture a world where it's just full of God and His direction and His morality. How different would that world be? And so for us to really butt heads, if Jesus would have went up and just gave them the answer they wanted, no, it's not right. It's not right what they're doing with this money. It's not right. They're robbing from the poor. They're directing people away from God. There is so much wrong here. He could have made great points. He could have had his little pedestal and had a chosen few come around and just get pitchforks with him and say, yeah, let's go. But he would have created division amongst the authorities. When Jesus was done answering this question, everyone just kind of walked away because it was such a brilliant answer. Serve God, because He has placed these authorities, and out of reverence of God, come underneath these authorities and pay to Caesar what's Caesar's. See, we can do both. Is it okay to be aggravated? Yes. Anyone just pay $3.89 to get gas the other day? That aggravated me. Lower our gas tax. Let's fix this, people. Is that a reason for us to go bashing people that did things that may have caused that? Are we honoring God through that? That's something simplistic, but it can go so much deeper than that. So as we pray, what I want us to really concentrate on is, God, are we honoring You in our actions? Are we praying for our government officials? Are we praying for our president? Now, as you see the ads start to come out, it's time for, you know, the grown men and women to act like five-year-olds again. I'm going to bash you. I'm going to take a little teeny cut of what you said and make it seem like you said so. It just drives me up the wall to even watch it, to think we're grown adults that have this to follow by. And it's like, man, we're getting ready to really be consumed with just childish, immature behavior that seems like Satan is directing. Let's not fall into that. Even the cooler talks at work, let's be bigger than that. Let's honor God with our language. Let's honor God with our thoughts. Let's pray for those who we think. So, Father, right now I just pray that You will open our eyes so completely to the reaction of Jesus. He could have been right because He was right. He was an honorable person. He was truthful. He followed the letter. And what Jesus did was, He showed us how to love even when He can't disagree or when He can't agree. He allowed us to see that it's more important to honor God than to honor ourselves, even when we think we're right. So God, may You break our hearts right now in a good way for the things of this world that we can't control. Because much in the way that You're asking us to pray and honor and really do the hard thing, You did the hard thing for us, because what did we deserve? We didn't deserve Your Son's life. We weren't sinless. We deserve reckoning. We deserve pretty much hell, because people struggled so much to follow Your decrees, they just couldn't. But You gave us Your Son anyway. So Father, give us that compassion for people. May we not have to be right, but may we stand for what is right. May we be the voices that can speak for the Word of God upon all these different things that are going on in our world that just seems to be breaking us apart and separating us from You. Father, may we stand firm in what we believe, and may we honor You overall. May our aggravation be subsided. May You just break our hearts for people going the wrong direction. They are Your people, people that Jesus died for. May we stop looking at someone as a stop looking at them as an enemy and say, they are a child of God, they are misdirected. God, break their hearts for You. May our actions invite people to You and not cause a rift, not cause a separation. We love You, God. This is a big ask. But give us obedience, give us patience to honor You by honoring the authorities that You have placed in our lives. We ask this in Your name, dear God, in Your name alone. Everyone says, amen. That was a quiet. One more time. Everyone says, amen.